Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning. The Lord's blessings to everybody in Christ Jesus today. Great to be gathered with you on our fifth Sunday of Easter. We celebrate our Lord's resurrection as we continue through the season of Easter. This morning we have a special service planned for you. We're going to be worshiping to the order of service called Matins, which is we've done before, but it may be a little bit different than our normal routine. And then, of course, connected at the end of the Matins service, we also have our service of Holy Communion as a part of that. So we do include our confession absolution here after the beginning of the Matins service today. So we welcome you, and we're glad that you're here, and we pray the Lord's blessings upon you as you receive his gifts and confess our sins together to him. And we also welcome those who tuned in on the radio this morning. Thanks for tuning in. We're blessed to have you joining us as well. So we'll begin our service today with hymn number 912, which is the hymn, Christ is our Cornerstone. And as we get to the last verse of that hymn, we invite the congregation gathered here to please stand on the last verse. Let's sing together. Open my lips, make haste, O God, to deliver me. Be to the Father and to the Son and to the Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We continue now with our confession of sins, found there on page 4 at the top in the bulletin. Holy and gracious God, I confess that I have sinned against you this day. Some of my sin I know, the thoughts and words and deeds of which I am ashamed, but some is known only to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I ask forgiveness. Deliver and restore me, that I may rest in peace. By the mercy of God, we are redeemed by Jesus Christ, and in him we are forgiven. Therefore, in the stead and by the command of Christ, as a called and ordained servant of the word, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rest now in his peace as we live this day to serve him. Amen. Please be seated. Would you join me now in our responsive psalm from Psalm 146? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being.
Put not your trust in princes, in the Son of Man in whom there is no salvation.
When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that
blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God.
Who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever.
Who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry, the Lord sets the prisoners free.
The Lord opens the eyes of the blind, the Lord lifts up those who are bowed down, the Lord loves the righteous.
The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin.
The Lord will reign forever. Your God will sign to all generations. Praise the Lord.
Amen. We continue with our office hymn. That's printed for you in the bulletin, hymn 155, not in the hymnal under that number, but in the divine service. So I printed it in the hymnal for you. We sing together, This is the Feast. Our first reading for today comes from the book of Acts in the 6th and 7th chapters. If you've been attending the morning Bible study, you have a little more insight into these texts, at least Acts chapter 1 through 10, as we're in Acts chapter 10 now, but we've gone through some of these texts together. If not, you'll see here in this text that they are basically choosing deacons to serve within the church. And then Stephen, who's chosen, ends up being martyred by the self-righteous religious leaders. We begin here in verse 1 of chapter 6. Now in these days when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians and the Alexandrians, and of those from Cilicia and Asia rose up and disputed with Stephen. And Stephen said, "Brothers and fathers, hear me. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did not your fathers persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. You who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it." Now when they heard these things, they were enraged and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. O Lord, have mercy on us. We continue with our next reading there from 1 Peter chapter 2. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and the stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the congregation to stand now if you're able, and we sing our Easter responsory there in the bulletin. Sing to the Lord and bless his name. Proclaim his salvation from day to day. Now Christ is risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. To the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Our gospel reading is from John chapter 14, verses 1 to 14. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Fact is, we've all got questions for God. Do we not? Ever been in a situation and wished God would just sort of show you exactly what he wants you to do? Of course you have. I have. Lots and lots of times. I bet all of us have been in a situation like that. We want to see in a very straightforward way what God has maybe for our future, what he's doing with our lives? A message from him, perhaps? When I started working on this sermon, I remembered my mother-in-law, God rest her soul. Her and I would sit and talk. And when we talked, I would usually say something along the line of, man, I just wish I knew what God was doing with this or that or this or that. You know how this goes, right? And she would say, Jason, it sounds to me like you want God to take up skywriting for you. And I was like, yeah, that's exactly what I want. I mean, come on, there's lots of clouds, right? We could just, you know, move some of them, make some letters. It's probably only take one word, and I would know what I wanted to know. Oh, she was a wise lady. She really was. That desire that's within us, it's most acute during times of change in our lives, when things are really shifting, when there's that proverbial fork in the road. It's during these times that we most want God's answers. We'd rather, tell me if I'm right, just have God tell us what to do. Ever been there? So we don't make the wrong decision. And when we don't get a sign or a message written in the clouds, boy, do we get nervous. And we get anxious. And we lose sleep. And we worry. Our mood can shift in those times from content and joyful to bothered. And then we become frustrated. And we end up being quick to disgust. We know this, but a person who used to be sort of carefree in their life, you know, can quickly become quite short-tempered in situations like that. Our response in those situations? Some resort to praying harder to try to find out what they want or need or what's coming. Some fast, some isolate. Some will hole up and stop communicating with anybody. Some make up fake messages from God. You know, they see a bird fly over, or they watch a little frog jump out of a pond, or they see a car switch lanes in a weird time, and they say, oh, that was a sign from God. This is what I should do. To ease themselves from the pressure they're feeling. Some turn to the quick, temporary, emotional band-aids like substance abuse. That happens too. But the fact is, Lord, we've got questions. Hey, maybe you carried some questions in the door with you this morning regarding what God's doing in your life. Me too. Well, blessed we are. Blessed indeed we are, because in our gospel reading this morning, Jesus is answering questions. That's what he's doing. Thomas asks a question, and Philip asks a question, and Jesus answers them both. But there's no skywriting. There's no signs. Nothing like that. Just straightforward red letters from the Bible. He answers. This is verse 5 from the reading from John 14. Thomas said to Jesus, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? See, the disciples in this text are in a changing situation too, so we can empathize with them and understand if we're in one. Jesus has told them that he's leaving. He's going away. But of course, with the promise that the purpose for his going away will benefit them. He was going to prepare a place for them, he said. But this is going to be a huge adjustment for his disciples. They've been with Jesus for years, and now it's going to change, and it's no wonder that they have questions about what's going on. Because we don't like change either. Some will say, the only thing guaranteed in life is what? Death and taxes and change. But lean in with me here a moment and listen closely to Jesus' answer to the questions. The answer we came in this morning looking for ourselves just might be in what Jesus has to say. This is verse 6 and 7. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Our questions as Christians are fundamentally really no different than Thomas's. We want to know what God wants for us. Basically, we want what Philip asks, even in the next question in our reading in verse 8. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough. That's what we want too. We want to see the Father, or we want to see his will for us. In the situations of our changing lives, we say something like, God, just tell me the truth. What's right? What decision should I make? Which way should I go? What do you want for my life? We basically want to see the Father too, to figure out the way to know those things. So, what's our answer in what Jesus said? It was. See, in our quandary with God's will for us is fundamentally, don't miss this, it's fundamentally us wanting to know the way. So we can be the way ourselves and fulfill it and do the right thing by our own choices in life. Think about it. In us wanting to do it right and then begging God to give us a sign so we can go about our life and do it right, are we not trying to become the way ourselves? I think we might be. I mean, this is our sort of natural wiring or programming at work, right? It's just kind of in a deep way within us. It's working along with the lie that Satan told Adam and Eve in the beginning. You will be like God, knowing good from evil. Why do we want to discover what's right so badly? The truth in every situation. Because we think that life situations and choices and decisions and life circumstances can bring us peace and comfort and bliss and joy. When something goes wrong, we wonder if we're in the will of God. Huh? We're after the way, the truth, and the life, but by our own devices. Through our own schemes. Our assumptions are off from the get-go on this. It kind of means that we didn't hear the answer to our quandaries and our questions in what Jesus says to Thomas and Philip. We missed it, but it was there. We don't need to seek to be the way for ourselves, to be on the right path in life, the truth, to know which choice will turn out to be the right choice in the end, or try to peer into what's ahead in our life. We need to hear our Lord Jesus, who already knows all of those things. He is the way. He is the right path. He himself has become that for you. That's what he was doing on the cross and in his resurrection. He's the truth. There's nothing that we need to do or choose in order to get our life right. He did it all for us. And only he could. Well, what does that mean? It means by his cross, by his dying for us, by his resurrection and his ascension, that we're free from looking for skywriting. Released from it. Released from trying to figure out what's the right way and then trying to stick to it. Jesus set us free from that kind of stuff as Christians. How? Listen to what the scriptures say. Jesus himself says this message to you. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Psalm 121 says this, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The Lord will keep your going out and you're coming in from this time forth and forevermore. We think we have to do what's right to make a correct decision as the currents of change are flowing all around us and the climate is shaky and we're not sure what's going to happen. And so we pine and we pin and we beg to know what the right choice is. But what are we trying to secure with that? Think about it for a second. I'm telling you this morning, you and I can't be the way, the truth, and the life by our own endeavors. Jesus is telling us he is the way, the truth, and the life. And he's already done all that heavy lifting for us. Feel that freedom that's yours because of what he did. Wherever you go, whatever you do in Christ Jesus, by his work and because of his promises, you literally have no pressure on you in that way. And neither do I. He's going to be with you no matter what you decide when your life changes. That's his promise. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. Helpful, too, to think back on this. He baptized you. I know a pastor did, if you've been baptized. A pastor baptized you. But it was actually Christ at work through his servants. He baptized you. He marked you as his own dear child. And he's a good, good father. And that means he's your shade on your right hand. He's your keeper. Can you hear it? He's always going to be there. No matter what happens, no matter what changes. It's amazing how we are. Because we're really bad at choosing between good and good. When we have two good options in life, it's the hardest place for us to be. Because we have these parents named Adam and Eve from Genesis, our first parents. And they lived in the Garden of Eden. And in the Garden of Eden, they had many choices to make. Tons of them. They could eat of any tree, the scripture says, except the tree that's in the midst of the garden. Because the tree in the midst of the garden was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? So they could make all kinds of choices within their freedom. They chose between good and good, kind of willy-nilly. No problem. Until the tempter shows up and lies to them. And then they're tempted to eat of that other tree and break God's command. And the moment that they did, that was the moment that for you and me, it became really, really challenging, if not impossible outside of Christ, to choose between good and good. And now we're addicted to choosing or trying to choose between good and evil. We're addicted to it. Think on a decision you have to make in your life. Maybe there's one now, like we said. Maybe there's one in the past you can reflect on. Think on it for a second. What do you have to do to make a decision between two things or multiple things? The only way we know is to build a pros and cons list. Well, you have to basically demonize one and make the other one as holy as possible. And then we can make a decision. But the idea that Christ has promised to always go with us, no matter what we choose in those situations, this is the gospel. This is foreign to our calculating law brains. We're trying to figure it out. We're trying to be the way for ourselves and the truth for ourselves and the life for ourselves. And Jesus, our Lord, this morning gave us his answer. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he will always be with us no matter what. So we've got some questions, huh? And Jesus has answers. We can live in his kingdom by faith, free to make the choice, even that we want. And he'll promise to go with us, no matter what we choose in those situations. Truly free. That's what it means to be a Christian. For freedom, he says, Christ has set us free. Not to burden ourselves looking for weird signs or pretending sometimes that we got them, trying to make ourselves feel better about the choices, but just hearing the beautiful red letters of Jesus, I am the way. And in this, Thomas and Philip's questions got answered too, because Jesus died for them and he died for us and he resurrected. And guess what? That showed us the Father. It showed us his heart, that he'll always, don't doubt it, always be there for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, we invite the congregation to please stand if you're able and turn to page 10 in your bulletin, and you'll find there the Te Deum, and let's sing that Te Deum together. Please be seated. We come to the time in our service of our tithes and offerings. As the offerings are collected and presented this morning, we'll enjoy some instrumental music from our organist. We gather in prayer before our Lord. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for all your goodness and tender mercies, especially for the gift of your dear Son and for the revelation of your will and grace. Implant your word in us that with good and honest hearts we may keep it and bring forth the fruits of faith. We humbly implore you to rule and govern your church throughout the world. Bless all those who proclaim your truth, that we may be preserved in the pure doctrine of your saving word, and that faith in you may be strengthened, love toward others increased, and your kingdom extended. Send forth laborers into your harvest and sustain those whom you have sent, that the word of reconciliation may be proclaimed to all people and the gospel preached in all the world. Grant health and prosperity to all who are in authority, O Lord, especially to the President and Congress of the United States, to the Governor and legislature of Colorado, and to all those who make and administer and judge our laws. Lord, grant them grace to rule according to your good pleasure for the maintenance of righteousness and the hindrance and punishment of wickedness, that we may lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. According to your good pleasure, turn the hearts of our enemies and adversaries, that they may cease their hostilities and walk with us in meekness and in peace, and comfort, O God, with your Holy Spirit, all who are in trouble, want, sickness, anguish of labor, peril of death, or any other adversity. Lord, we have those that we pray for in our church. Those who have asked for prayers, or those who have asked that we pray for those that they care about. Lord, we name before you from the altar this morning Dave Johnson, the family of Herb Weisenfels, Betty White, Barb Luco, Tom Poole, Frankie Gray, Nathan Poole, Brooklyn Clasby, Carolyn Jury, Mona Hauser, Marcella Pilcher, Betty Gray, Sandy Santa Stephen, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Frank Rendon, Ella Clark, Greg and Chris, Don Hermanson, and Lord, all that we name in our hearts silently at this time. Heavenly Father, although we have deserved your righteous wrath and punishment, yet we ask you, O most merciful Father, not to remember the sins of our youth, nor our many transgressions. Out of your unspeakable goodness and mercy, defend us from all harm and danger to body and soul. Preserve us from false doctrine, from war and bloodshed, from plague and pestilence, from all calamity by fire and water, from hail and tempest, from failure of harvest and from famine, from anguish of heart and despair of your mercy, and from an evil death. In every time of trouble, show yourself a very present help, the Savior of all, especially to those who believe. Cause all needed fruits of the earth to prosper, that we may enjoy them in due season. Give success to the Christian training of the young, especially our school here at Trinity. Lord, we know that you are with us according to your promise. Lord, bless our school and our teachers and our school board, and lead us in your way, because you are the way. Lord, give success to all lawful occupations on land and sea and air, and to all pure arts and useful knowledge, crowning them with your blessing. Receive, O God, our bodies and souls and all our talents together with the offerings we bring you. For by his blood your Son has purchased us to be your own, that we may live under him in his kingdom. These and whatsoever other things you would have us ask of you, O God, grant us for the sake of Jesus Christ, your only Son, our Lord and Savior, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. If you've been joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning in to our service, and we wish you the Lord's blessings. If you're gathered here with us in the sanctuary, we invite you to join us in our service of the sacrament on page 13, and we invite the congregation to please stand if you're able. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death.
And you've been listening to Pastor Jason Cody, live from Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. Thank you for listening. Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado, with worship services every Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. Please join us in person or listen in right here on KSPK-FM. For more information, you may call the church office at 719-589-4611 or visit our website at www.tlcalamosa.net or on Facebook by searching for Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. And tune in again next Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on KSPK-FM.
KSPK, Walsenburg, Alamosa, and Trinidad. Southern